You are listening to the Political Periscope, a weekly podcast brought to you by Radio WNET. Interviews on international politics, security, geopolitics, economy, and more. Every Thursday at 7 p.m.
Today's guest of the Political Periscope is Mykola Davidiuk, PhD, political analyst from Kyiv, Ukraine.
Political Periscope.
Last night in Kyiv, we heard another Shahed attack. All of them above Kyiv were shot down. What is really the point of those missiles and drones attacks of Russia against Ukraine? They are not aiming at against any military. They make no sense from military point of view. They don't achieve any goals.
They're trying to make an horror and oppressing us, and they're like that is like some kind of extremism. Like when you try and to push people with a fear, and you try to make people sitting at home fear in Russia, and I think they can understand that that is not working for us. The main feeling in Ukraine is not fear. The main feeling is a hope and a big desire of vendetta. And that is the main feelings. And Russia can't understand that. And they measure on themselves that, like, if you strike in missiles, as Putin did in early 2000 on his people, they started afraid of him, and they vote as he wish, and they did as he wish. That is a like typical kind of thinking of slaves. But Ukraine is a different, is not Russia, and that's not working for us. And he is targeting civilian buildings, maternity houses, schools, and like some homes for pensioners, and like many other social buildings, and that is like looks very stupid, like, because like Ukrainians hates more Russia, but don't afraid its power, don't afraid its as it before called the second army in the world. We're now joking that yes, in Ukraine we have second army in the world, but that is not Russian army. And also he trying to show to his people that he has some victories in Ukraine. For instance, like when he killed like in Uman 23 person, 6 of it is children. In Russia, many people were so happy of that. They're like celebrating that, and Putin is a strong guy, a strong man, and like who showed it like, yes, I'm killing Ukrainians. And for them, that is a big victory. But that is not a military target. Is Russian troops moves into Ukrainian side more? No. Is Russian troops killed like thousands of Ukrainian troops? No. Did they destroy our military infrastructure? No. They just killed civilian building and like 23 people. And I think losing this war, Putin tried to change the meaning of victory. He can't destroy Ukraine, but he wanna kill more people in a very, very brutal way, and to show that he is like a fantastic dictator for his people, and he winning this war. But that is not true, and I think he is weak. And he don't want to show that, don't want to show his weaknesses and for his people. What in phone leaks, Prigozhin with Akhmedov, that is like two Russian very close, I think so, called insiders in the Kremlin's people. Prigozhin said on that telephone leak that like Putin looks as a strong man, but that's not true, because like it was everything made by TV. And that was his point. And I think that is like very close to the truth. And he is not so strong as he wants. And that's why he is not destroying military infrastructure. He is destroying children's lives.
Killing children, civilians, elderly people. Are Ukrainians not tired of this? Don't you think there is a risk that they will just wear out? They will just want some peace, some stabilization. Although the resilience during the winter, Ukrainians went through winter successfully, even though it was expected to be very harsh. But there is some limit to what a person can withstand.
Yeah, I think Ukrainians fighting all the time, and of course we are tired. Of course we want some break, but like the biggest desire in Ukraine is not a break. It's like total winning. It's destroying Russian troops on our territory, and much better, it's destroying Russian regime at all. And that is like our main desire. And yes, people tired. Many people were killed, and but we like. Ukraine like fighting and supporting army, and everybody who stays in Ukraine now like really want to destroy that army, because like when you every night sitting in a shelter like for 2 or 3 or 4 hours, as today we had like 4 hours of alarm, and of course we sit it in the shelters, and we are so angry, and like every morning you can observe statistics how many people donating for army. It's growing every morning after such Shahed nights, and Ukrainians of course want to have a summer, but the best summer for Ukrainians is a summer in Crimea. So like we need to deoccupy the place where we wanted to spend our holidays, and as Zelensky said, like I would like to drink beer somewhere in Crimea on a sea beach, and I think that is like a really good idea. Even like some Ukrainian pop singers, as Rastopola, he is selling tickets for his big stadium concert, and I think on Yalta, and for 23 of August, the day before our Independence Day. So like also assistant of Zaluzhny book him an apartment in Yalta for parade, and that is like funny, and Russia so angry, Russia afraid of that. So yes, we're tired, but like when your purpose is to survive and to win, you don't feel your tiredness, and you just know that you need move, you need keep moving all the time, and they're like, that is like very very comparable with a person who moving through desert, and like if you're moving through desert, you're like you live all your power there, but you wanted to finish, you wanted to survive. So like that's very similar to Ukrainians, and many thousand people become a part of army, many become a part of resilience, and many become like I may call that like donation army, because like people spend every day like a billion of hryvnias, and like sending that money to army, to soldiers, for weapons, for clothes, for medicine, for everything. And I think that means that we are really become fighting nation, from small children till pensioners, from people who works on the hospitals till the militaries, even like taxi drivers who become drivers on the front line, a journalist who living on the front line, and many others. So like I think all the country fighting and waiting for a victory, and like we are not listening what Scholz or Macron said, that the war may be frozen. We are really waiting and investing our time in the victory.
You said the occupation of Crimea. When we are all waiting for a counteroffensive of Ukrainian army, and do you think what directions do you think the counteroffensive will take? Will it go to Donbas? Will it go to Crimea?
Actually, like we have three directions, and like it's not hard to choose which one we would like to take first. But like we are so happy that the Russians so stupid that sometimes, and we are saying them that we are going left, and they preparing to the left, and then we going right. What happened with Kharkiv region, and then with the Kherson region? Because all the time we talk about Kherson, Russia prepared in Kherson, and we occupied the Kharkiv and Sumy region. And then when Russia was so angry that we deoccupied that region, we very quickly come to Kherson. And I think Of course, we are not talking publicly about our steps, which one is first, which one is the second, but like talking about Crimea, like I think even Russians, even stupid Russian armies and the stupid Putin's generals know that to deoccupy Crimea, we need to deoccupy it first Melitopol, which is the key for Crimea and for Crimea liberation, and but not only unique. We are like trying to cut a logistic chains. Somebody blow up a Russian Russian bridge, and we don't know what happened with that. But that is like one of the steps of that plan. Water drones attacked some oil bases. Air drones attacked military bases and aircraft bases. Yeah, so we are cutting logistics. And then when we come to Melitopol, we take on fire control all the peninsula. So like that may be like a good chance to deoccupy. Of course, we have troubles with our Western alliance and who are not supporting entering Ukrainian's Crimea, but sometimes reality is changing, and like when we will be in Crimea, I will call maybe to somebody in the West, and it's like, hey guys, we are here, so like what to do next, we don't know, maybe you help us or come to us and to have some fantastic days on a sunny Crimea beaches. And they're like, I think that may be like a good idea. And Ukraine said like very, very simple words that like, that is our land and we're going to deoccupy. And we are so thankful for our friends as a Poland who stand with us all the time. And they're like, and don't move in such sometimes anti-European steps as Macron did with China. So like Baltic countries, Poland is like closest neighbors, not only, I'm talking not only about the territory, that's about values, that's about goals, about purposes, and about your power with you are standing with us against Russian military and I think like extremist regime. So about the occupation of Crimea, of course, that one of the main that is one of the main purposes, because like the occupying Crimea, we are not only back our territory, we also give a punch on a Putin politically face inside the Russia, because like he wanna play a strong man, and the Ukraine said no man, you are not strong anymore, and we're truly not sure that you are man, but like maybe like you want to think about that, of course you have such a chance, but Ukrainians want to beg Crimea to crash his political vertical inside Russia, and we want to show that he is not so strong as his TV talking about him, what about talking his propaganda. And I think that is also a key for a military power, anti-Russian military power on the Black Sea, because Russia trying to control all the sea, and all the countries agree with that, even Turkey, Bulgaria and Romania and many others. So like we said no, like we have to back control to NATO countries, we have to back control to Western countries, and like we don't need to stay in the Black Sea region under Russian control, because like old Russian ships which stay in that is not a power, is like a phantom pain of Russian empire, which not exist anymore. So like we need to back Crimea to back control of Western and NATO countries in the region.
Why do you think the Western countries don't want Ukraine to attack Crimea? Why they don't want Ukraine to strike Russia at Russian territory?
Actually, they have two different points of view. Sometimes they say, yes, we will help Ukraine as long as it needs, as much as it needs. And then Ukraine may attack Russia on the military targets, because like that is a war, and Ukraine has all the rights to do that. And sometimes when we attack, they comment that, oh, that's not good, Russia maybe become a little bit more aggressive. The document which leaked by Mr. Teixeira and young American gamer, and I think Some Western countries, mostly like Germany and France, they afraid a little bit of nuclear weapon of Russia, and also they like, I think, still believe that they may cooperate with Russia, trade their oil and gas, and gain $1 billion. So like, I think they think about their wallets more than about the future of Europe and about their leadership, about their people, and sometimes they don't think about the people at all. Like they thinking more about politician and financial groups which support that politician and about their profits and. I'm not sure that we share the same values with them, and we are doing our job. We're trying to deoccupy our territory, and we're trying like to liberate our people who are practically saying now in a jail there. So like Russia may stole you, may kill you, may rape you on the occupied, contemporary occupied Ukrainian territories by Russian troops. So like that is a danger, so we want to liberate them.
You mentioned the possible fall of Putin, his loss of political support, but who can overthrow Putin? Do you think like maybe his inner circle, or is there any power, opposition, strong opposition power, like Ponomaryov mentioned, this underground army? Do you believe stuff like this?
No, I don't believe in Russian opposition or like his surrounders who may be like some... like really brave people, and I think Russian elites is like a gang of losers who wanna stole money from a pensioners, who wanna stole money from a budget, and spend that money somewhere in the south of France, drinking the most expensive champagne and eating lobsters, eating caviar, and all the time repeating and drinking for Tsar and so on. But they are like truly stupid losers, because like they lost their country and this war, they lost their money, they lost their future, they lost the future of their children. Because like we can speak about the future of children of Nazi generals. We can't speak about future of children, or for instance, like the people or like generals of Yugoslavia. We don't speak about that people anymore, because like they killed their future and the future of their children. What exactly did Russian elite? So like I think the main opposition now in Russia is Ukrainian armed forces, and so that is the best opposition ever, which Zelensky see in all the time. So I think the final scene of Putin may be very, very accidental. Like what happened with Peter Great, or like Ivan Grozny, or like many other tsars, or like Nikolai II, like Nikolai II, yes. And so like he may be killed by his own people. He might be killed by successor. He might be removed as a Stalin, or like removed as a Khrushchev, and removed to his dad. And spend the rest of his life there. So like we don't know, we can't understand Russia using the brain, and that is not working like that. So, like Russia is not about brain and some intellectual modeling of the situation is not working there, because like they are all the time drunk, and they're like half of their decision is like under like alcohol control. So like I don't know what may happen with him, but I truly believe that Ukrainian armed forces do the best and like fantastic job there.
Many people in the West believe in great Russian culture and their literature, music. Why is Russia like this?
Yeah, I saw fantastic Russian literature legacy on Mariupol when they bombed the theater and then made like huge posters of Pushkin, Tolstoy, and other Russian poets, and I think like looks very stupid when they bombed the theater, killed a lot of children, and then trying to front and defend the victims of the children of great Russian legacy in literature and culture, and that is like very that is a very good example how Russia used that in Italy, in Germany, in France, in UK, in US, and many other countries, and in China even. But that example shows what really Russian culture means. That is a barbarian culture, the culture of terrorists. That is a culture of extremists. And I saw how they killed many people on the Bucha, how they killed many people in Irpin, in Kherson, how they raped children. So like that is a Russian culture. That is a Russian legacy. And of course, they won't pretend to be like a huge empire with a very deep culture and religion, but like most of their poets with whom they're so proud, they are Ukrainians. For instance, like Gogol and Chekhov, or like many others who were born in Kiev, who are born in Ukraine, and they said, no, that is our culture. Hey, guys, like, let's divide if you like attack Ukraine, so like you can't use that. And the same with artists like Malevich and Kandinsky, who are like natively born in Ukraine. So that's the one side. And another side, culture always educates something. It's like when you read like Polish literature, you become better, you become deeper. Or like even you read French and or like British literature, like you may find some like good sentiments inside yourself and like reopen some new sentiments and like you like become more educated. A Russian culture who grew up like millions of Russian troops, what did they educate? Who they become after reading Russian literature all the time, all the years in their schools? They become killers, they become rapers. That is an example what really Russian culture did with the people. So like I'm not sure that we may share that virus among the people, and it looks more as a COVID virus than is a like real good cultural legacy. That is like a stupid terroristic virus, and which like living in very, very aggressive way.
So what do you think will be the future shape of Russia? What needs it to be to maintain peace and stability in Europe?
I think we have to learn lessons of the past. We had the Germany, which didn't understood what happened after First World War. So after Second World War, the world decided to divide Germany in the two pieces, and after what it becomes much more peaceful than it was before. The same happened with Japan, and Nippon were divided, and like 30% were cut. And I think that may happen. That may happen with Russia if we are really about stability, and we really want a peaceful life for future. We need to destroy Putin regime, because like if we pay him by Crimean Peninsula, by Donbas, giving him millions of people, so like that will mean that we pay him for his war, for his brutality, for his breaking global law. And I think that may be the biggest problem of current political generation. We are not speaking now about like names. We are speaking about generation, because like people of future will estimate us of a decision which were made during this time, and how we win that dictatorship. Because this war is not only about Ukraine. It's not only about security of Europe. That is about who will rule this world in the next century. autocracy or a democracy. And Ukraine fighting against autocracy didn't become autocracy. And like we still stay democracy, like the killing dragon, you are not becoming a dragon, yes? And I think we are like really a big fight in democracy, and we want to show that democracy may be strong. What we can't feel before, like in the time of Duterte, Xi Jinping, or like Bolsonaro, we showed that like democracy may show a good result, and we showed that democracy may be strong, and that is our message to the world. Don't afraid, be strong and stay democratic. And I think we don't need be afraid to divide Russia, and we are not be afraid to fight against Russia, because like many peoples in Central Europe, sometimes in the West, they afraid that Russia may fall. But I'm wondering on that, because like Soviet Union fall and nothing happened. For instance, Soviet Union was like 15 times bigger and stronger because it was like 15 countries. Russia is the one country. And so like if you are not afraid in 1991, so why do you need do that now? If we want to make a better future, because like after Soviet Union fall, we achieve better future. So now we, of course, may approve our future when we may give a good chance for a peace in this part of land and also in our continent, in Europe and Asia.
Thank you very much.
Thank you.
This was the Political Periscope. The podcast is released every Thursday at 7 p.m.